Paul, I want to start with talking about the 2020 session that's coming up and where the state is heading economically. We have record revenues, but a lot of people are talking about, how should we best use that money and how do we turn the state around? Because as you know, while the state economy has been improving, it's far lagging many other places around the country.
Yeah, and that's a theme that the Rio Grande Foundation has really worked on and tried to explain to policymakers and the public here in New Mexico that while we have this once in the history of our state, you know, some people say once in a generation, I say this revenue in the oil and gas sector is really once in the entire history of a state like New Mexico. It's an opportunity to change our economy for the better, change public policies in ways that make us a magnet for business growth and economic opportunity in the same way that so many of our neighbors are magnets for economic growth. We're really an island of stagnant population growth, relatively slow economic growth, although that's changed thanks to the oil and gas boom, and just a state that lags behind, you name it, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Texas. All those states have been performing significantly above the national average for many years, and New Mexico has certainly not been.
Yeah, and so some folks are talking about infrastructure, you know, water projects, sewer projects, roads and bridges, things that are crumbling that need to be fixed, that this would be a way to invest in the future.
Yeah, that's one aspect of, I think, a way that the money should be used. And it's certainly important, particularly in southeast New Mexico, where while there's been a lot of good things happening in Carlsbad and Lee and Eddy counties due to the oil boom, there's also been some real challenges with the lack of infrastructure. So definitely investing some of this money in southeast New Mexico and around the state. I can tell you from personal experience that there are a number of roads here in Albuquerque in the metro area and around the state when I travel that do need to be improved. But, infrastructure alone isn't really going to make us a much more attractive place to do business. We've been looking at a couple ideas that really have bipartisan support in the legislature. One is reforming the gross receipts tax. Now, Speaker Egolf mentioned that he had some ideas for reform, looking at the contractor issue and contractors in New Mexico. So if you're not an employee, you maybe contract with a bookkeeper or something to do part-time work, or a web developer, lawyers and doctors. All of those are contractors because they're not employees of the person paying them. They are have to charge in Albuquerque's case 7.875%, in other areas of the state of New Mexico they're charging upwards of 8% on top of all the other federal taxes that they have to pay, the FICA and the income taxes that have to be paid by these contractors. So it really makes small business and running your own business a much more difficult proposition in New Mexico thanks to this aspect of the gross receipts tax. Now, it's not the only problem with the gross receipts tax. We'd like to see further reform, but if we can get that done in this session, it'll be a huge shot in the arm for the state economy.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I'm curious about in your view, beyond looking at just gross receipts, and it's certainly not going to happen this year or maybe even next year, looking at the overall tax system for the state of New Mexico, if you look at around the country, states that are doing extremely well economically, including our neighbor in Texas, do not have a state income tax. However, as you also know, some places in these states have very high property taxes. The one state where that isn't the case, traditionally is Tennessee. They don't have an income tax, and their property taxes remain low. What is Tennessee doing, and what do they know that other states don't seem to grasp?
That is an excellent question. I actually haven't studied Tennessee's economy that closely, aside from knowing, like you said, that they don't have an income tax, and it's one of the fastest growing states in that particular region.
It's booming.
And really, you have to, no doubt. I've been to Nashville in recent years, and it is unbelievable how many people are moving to that particular state. But the same is true for states like Texas and all of our neighboring states. Now, the way I look at it is the gross receipts tax is the original sin of New Mexico tax policy. That is what needs to be addressed first and foremost. And aside from the contractor issue that hopefully will get addressed in this session, we need to look at pyramiding of taxes. And that's where you have an input into a business that is taxed, again, 7.875 or 8% or whatever it is, and then it's taxed again when the product is sold at the final sale. And sometimes there's multiple steps in that process, and you have multiple times where that tax is applied. So that's the first and most important situation in terms of resolving New Mexico's tax code.
Right. There is one glimmer of hope for those folks who say that income tax should be addressed. Think New Mexico, as you know, has advocated for a change in our income tax system here in New Mexico, and there's actually legislation that has been drafted to address this, that the state, if the legislature passes this, would no longer tax Social Security income, which is also a double taxation on people. And New Mexico, as you know, is one of only 13 states to tax Social Security income, which takes us off of many lists of the best places to retire. What do you make of this idea?
I definitely agree with Think New Mexico, and we are working with Fred's group there, Fred Nathan, the head of Think New Mexico, on that particular issue. I definitely think that the gross receipts tax reform should be the top priority, but not taxing Social Security is the right move, and that is definitely something that should be considered, along with not taxing military retiree pensions. Those are two things that I think are worth looking at in addition to the gross receipts tax reform on the tax reduction front. Of course, you know, shifting big picture someday to Texas-style zero income taxes, as you talked about earlier, would be a great move. But right now, you know, our tax code relative to our competitors, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, our income tax is not entirely out of line, although the increase that was passed in 2019 from 4.9 to 5.9 for higher-end earners and small businesses, that was harmful and unfortunate. The property taxes we pay in New Mexico are relatively low, in fact, arguably the lowest in the country, and that's very competitive. It's the gross receipts tax that is the real defining characteristic of our tax code that makes us less competitive with our neighboring states. And, you know, it is one of the things about the Social Security tax issue, it kind of makes me question just how high of a priority it should be. Like I said, something we support, but New Mexico is a rapidly aging state. And if we pass that, it is going to further make us more attractive. Now, that's all well and good. These are people that have assets to bring to bear and will definitely help spur the economy of the state of New Mexico. But what we really want to see happen is young people staying here, jobs created for those people, and to make New Mexico kind of the same economic engine that we see in our neighboring states like Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and Texas.
So, all right. Well, so to do
that's why we're so focused on that.
So to do that, Paul, in addition to gross receipts tax reform, are there other good reforms on the table in 2020?
Yes, there are. And the issue is pension reform, public employee pension reform, which has been discussed. There's been proposals, at least on the para side, there's two major pension systems for public employees in New Mexico. PERA handles essentially folks who work in government outside of the education system, whereas the ERB, which is also underfunded as well, is the other system. Both of them, quite honestly, need dramatic reforms. The reforms being discussed in Santa Fe are not necessarily where we ultimately would like to go, which is to allow certain employees who choose, especially young people, to go to a defined contribution system away from the defined benefit. Basically, defined contribution is like a 401k where you have control of your money and you invest it that way. Defined benefit puts the taxpayers on the hook for generating the rate of return required. And so there's reform ideas being discussed. It doesn't involve that shift to defined contribution, but it involves some sacrifice on both the taxpayers' front as well as the retiree and government employee front.
Other things in addition to the pension reform?
Well, marijuana reform or marijuana legalization is, again, on the agenda. The governor has put this issue out. You know, she did it like the day after the 2019 session ended. And the Rio Grande Foundation, our philosophy is that this is a criminal justice reform where we should be not locking people up into jail for the use of a plant or possession of a plant. It's not an economic development tool. It shouldn't be looked at as a revenue generator for the state. But certainly there are a lot of people who do look at it that way. Certainly we could steal some of the revenue being generated in states like Colorado, which is legalized several years ago, back from them and bring that home here to New Mexico and create a new business enterprise here. So those are three that I think really have some potential for helping to boost and diverse our economy.
Certainly no one's talking about this right now, but it comes up on a regular basis in New Mexico that we need capital outlay reform, that the way that it works right now, a lot of people say, is dysfunctional, that it's essentially a way for state legislators to bring back pork to their communities rather than a way to boost the overall economy of the state by making wise investments, not politically motivated investment. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, capital outlay reform has been something that's been discussed, and even the legislature's dipped its toe into the proverbial pool of capital outlay reform, but there are a lot of issues still with the capital outlay reform process. There's projects that get funded that are never used because they don't have the operating money to actually fund them. Then there's projects that you get, you know, say it's a $10 million project and you fund it to the tune of $500,000 a year for a couple decades, and you know, the money just sits there for years and years and years, and that's not ideal either. In the city of Albuquerque, for example, there's going to be money requested, I believe, this session for a soccer-specific stadium for the minor league soccer team, the New Mexico United. And the idea that taxpayers across the state of New Mexico should be putting up money in the form of capital outlay for a project that's really going to benefit just the metro area here in Albuquerque is questionable at best. And it's the same for projects in other cities and other parts of the state. Why are taxpayers in Albuquerque or Las Cruces paying for buildings and community centers, et cetera, that are going to be built in other parts of the state? I understand the money is there. It should at least be prioritized. That's the bare minimum, that there should be a third-party process to help prioritize the way capital outlay is done in the state of New Mexico.
Very important topics. Paul Gessing is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, we'll have to talk after the session to get your report card.
Thanks, Fred. Look forward to that.